Okay, we're in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 32. It says, in his harm, the wicked are pushed aside, and he who trusts in his death is a tzaddik. What it means by trust, it means trust in God. He who trusts in God, even if he's going to, if he's on his deathbed, if he's going to die, that's a tzaddik. Okay? The question is, what does it mean by in his harm? In other words, if something goes wrong with the person trusts in God, but he trusts in God in good times. When something goes wrong, then he starts questioning God and he turns away, so he's pushed aside. So the pasuk is saying that is the definition of a rasha or a wicked person. In other words, a wicked person is a person that trusts in God, but it's not a complete trust. And it shows up that it's not a complete trust when there is bad times. So the pasuk calls him a rasha. Okay? So that is considered wicked. But he who trusts even on his deathbed, he who trusts in God on his deathbed, then in other words, in the worst possible time, he still trusts God, that is considered a tzaddik. Just a little clarification. When the wicked's trust in God is conditional, not it's incomplete is vague. But it's conditional, means if there are good times, if God does good things for me, then I trust in God. But if God does bad things to me, then I don't trust in God. So it's conditional. That is considered a wicked person. The question that we're asking is, why is he called wicked? He should be called foolish. I mean, why is it a wicked thing? He's a foolish guy. He has the incorrect view. Why is it called wicked? So the approach is that we have to define, according to this pasuk, what the definition of wicked is. I mean, in general, we know what wicked is. Usually we define wicked in terms of harming others. When you harm yourself, that's foolish. But this pasuk, this verse, seems to have a different definition. So we have to define it according to this pasuk, what the definition of wicked is. That's the approach of the analysis. Our first step that we're taking is that if a person, let's say for instance, a person accepts God, bad things happen, or he has a, or let's say he has an addiction that he can't keep all the mitzvot, he can't do everything correctly. So there is a mistake, you understand, but he still accepts God. Over here we're saying where he stops accepting God. His acceptance of God is conditional. Okay? So that person, a person that doesn't obey God because he can't help himself, or he makes a mistake, or he doesn't know the halacha, whatever it is insofar as Mishlei is concerned, he is still relating to God. The only thing is he can't carry it out completely. But here we're saying is that he turns away from God. It's only when good things happen does he accept God. As soon as bad things happen, he questions and turns away from God. Because of our problem, so we have to go to chapter 13, verse 25. Okay? And the verse says that the righteous eat to satisfy his soul, and the stomach of the wicked is lacking. Okay? The rasha, I mean, he eats. I mean, he satisfies his stomach. You know what I mean? So what's the difference? And what is that to eat to satisfy your soul? What does that mean altogether? Okay? So the thing is that we wanted to say that a tzaddik eats as a means to as a mean, he only eats as a means to satisfy his soul, while the wicked eat because that's their desire. They're attached to the particular, and they just want the pleasure. So they just eat to satisfy their soul. Okay, so therefore, and so we say they are lacking. So the question is, what are they lacking? But the question is, why is this? Why is the difference here between a tzaddik and a rasha? Why isn't it the difference between a chacham and a fool, a wise person and a fool? Could be the same thing. Why does it have to jump to tzaddik and a rasha? That was the question. Okay. We have to understand what a chacham is and what a tzaddik is. Okay. The chacham is a person. The difference between the chacham and a tzaddik is a chacham sees the overall picture, but only in a very. But I'm sorry. Both of them see the overall picture. Both the chacham and the tzaddik see a very big picture, but the only thing is the chacham sees the picture, the overall picture, less. The tzaddik sees a larger picture. I'll tell you what I mean. The chacham sees that if he goes into the sun, so he will get a sunburn if he doesn't protect himself. So therefore, the chacham knows to protect himself. A foolish person goes straight into the sun. He just wants the particular, just like the rasha. They're only attached to the particular. Okay? So therefore, they go into the sun. The tzaddik, on the other hand, he sees a larger picture because he sees that in society, if society works well, he will benefit. And so therefore, not only does he keep a righteousness, but he recognizes he should teach others to keep righteousness, and that they should be righteous, so that if they keep a system of justice, so then that's a more overall picture of the facts. You understand? That is same motive. The motive is for benefit of the self, but it's a much larger picture. Now, the thing is that the tzaddik, there is another tzaddik. There's a tzaddik of halacha. A tzaddik of halacha is a person that keep, insofar as halacha is concerned, if you keep halacha, so then you're a tzaddik. So you could keep a whole system of righteousness based on halacha. But Mishle is talking about Chacham and Tzaddik as the development of the human being, what becomes real to them in ideas and how the ideas affect them. But here we're only talking about the facts. Okay? So the facts are that he sees the future, what will happen, and in a Tzaddik he sees the larger picture of a whole nation of people working together, how that benefits the world if the people work together. Okay? Now, yeah. I just want to say there's a further development which is not in the Pasuk, but we might as well deal with it. And that is, according to Plato, a tzaddik, the reason why a person becomes a tzaddik is because he sees, in other words, the soul is made up of logic and ideas. So he says that because of the quality of the soul, so therefore he doesn't want to go against justice because it would corrupt the soul. Now, this is not facts anymore. This is ideas. It's not the overall picture, but it's the abstractness of the idea affects the soul. So quality of the soul, it means that since I have the idea of equality, And if I hold that I'm better than you, so then I am saying that, and there's no reason to say that. In other words, all human beings are equal insofar as justice is concerned. They're all equal. So the thing is that I'm corrupting the soul because I'm not living according to equality. I'm going against the idea of equality. It'd be like saying 2 is equal to 3. That would corrupt the mind. The mind would be totally corrupted. Okay? So the same thing here. If you say you're better than somebody else, so you see the corruption in the soul. Now there the idea is abstract. It's the development of abstractness. Mishle does not deal with abstractness. That's a further development of the mind of being abstract and seeing that abstract idea. Okay? Then there's a further development of Psalms, where Psalms says, "O Have Hashem Sinura," those that love God hate evil. So it's via your attachment to the idea of God, where the mind sees God, it must do the right thing. It must do justice because that's what God wants. There it is doing justice because of ideas itself. Before, the idea is attached to selfishness, that I see a benefit. But the higher level is the idea itself, that I only do because the idea tells me that this is right, so I follow the idea. I don't need selfishness at all. So the development of the soul is how real first the facts are. That's Mishle. Do you only look at particulars, or do you look at the overall picture? Then the second level is abstractness, so you could relate to truth via abstractness. And then the highest level is where you just relate to the idea and the self doesn't exist anymore. You don't do it for the self, but you do it because of the idea. That is development of the soul. Development of the soul is development of how real ideas are to you. The thing is, insofar as our verse is concerned, you see, the Chacham cannot look at the overall picture. So he can only satisfy himself only insofar as the particular act of not going into the sun, because he sees the future. He is seeing the overall act, but by the Chacham, there's a very small part that's a means to an end. He just does because of the result of the, he only takes in consideration the consequences of his act, but he can't see the overall picture. So the physical world in general is not a means to his end. I can't say the physical world is a means to his end. I can only say that he does look at a certain area that he won't give in to his desire and take into consideration the consequences. But he can't see the overall picture of the whole physical world. You see, of all humans in the physical world, of the overall picture, that he doesn't have. So I can't say that he relates to the physical world to satisfy his soul. That I can only say about the tzaddik. You see, because he reached the level that he uses the physical world as a means to an end because he sees the whole picture. Now on the second half, the wicked or the fool only looks at the particular. You see, but since we mentioned the tzaddik in the first half, so he mentions Russia in the second half. But the second half could be attached both to the Russia or the fool. Saying there's no difference between the fool and the Russia in this aspect. I will show you where there can be a difference between a fool and a Russia in another aspect, and that is this. It is possible, from what we said, a person could simultaneously, one human being could simultaneously be a Chacham, a Tzaddik, and a Rasha. Okay? He could be a chacham in according to Mishlei, according to his development. He could be a tzaddik according to halacha. And he could be a rasha insofar as his development, because he's not living the life of justice based on his development. It's just that he's obeying the Torah. Okay? So the thing is there's a difference between a fool and a rasha, is that a fool could live the life of halacha. He could be simultaneously a tzaddik. He could be a fool and a tzaddik. A Rasha can never be a tzaddik. He's evil. That's it. So he doesn't keep, and he's not, and he would not keep the ideas of Torah. You see? He wouldn't keep the ideas of Torah. But insofar as our subject is concerned, insofar as development, so therefore, if the Rasha and the fool do not look at any overall picture at all, they're only attached to particulars, and if he does keep halacha, he only keeps halacha, and then he could be a tzaddik according to halacha, but he keeps halacha because he's obeying God, he has a proof of God, he's a religious person, whatever it is, so he keeps justice based on God, but not because of the development of the soul. Just to review, insofar as the attached to the particular, there is no difference between a fool and a rasha of Mishlei. But in halacha, a person can be a tzaddik, you understand? And simultaneously be a fool and a rasha. In other words, he's attached to the particulars, but he keeps the whole system of halacha. Okay? But he did not develop insofar as the reality of ideas are concerned. He did not develop. He only keeps the halacha because he's obeying God. Question is insofar as Mishlei is concerned, is there a difference between the fool and the rasha? The answer is the fool makes mistakes insofar as he makes mistakes insofar that concerns him is his own personal life. He makes terrible mistakes, while the rasha makes mistakes about justice. In other words, the fool, when he makes a mistake, when he does something evil because he made a mistake in halacha, or it's not in an area of halacha, so he's not just. So the thing is that it's a mistake. He's still a fool, but he made a mistake. But the rasha is a person that has the philosophy of evil. Okay? Once he has the philosophy of evil, that's a totally different being. Once again, to explain why only the tzaddik can only use the physical world as a means to an end, is because he takes into consideration all the facts of the physical world. That's when we say he uses the world as a means to an end. But the Chacham only uses one aspect. He doesn't see the total picture. So I can't say he uses one little aspect as a means to an end. Namely, the particular, he will not, because of the particular consequence, he sees the picture insofar as the future is concerned. But the overall picture of the facts of the physical world in front of him, he doesn't use as a means to an end. So therefore, I can't say he uses it as a means to an end. But the question is, what is the consequence of the tzaddik? What is the result of the tzaddik? And in other words, how does the tzaddik and the chacham eat differently? How is eating going to make a difference? In the pasuk, we have to explain the verse. So the answer is that where he eats to satisfy his soul doesn't mean eat literally. Eating means a metaphor for the physical world as a means to a soul, but eating only represents the physical world. But it's not the particular eating, it's the world as a whole, as a means to an end. One minute. The question is the Chacham trying to satisfy his soul? Okay? The answer is the Chacham is the first step away from being attached to the particulars, so that I look at the overall picture insofar as the future is concerned. You see? But however, the Tzaddik looks at the overall picture insofar as the facts are concerned. The facts of the physical world affect him. He has a greater scope. He must, in the development, he must start out as a Chacham to have the overall picture of the future, of the particular act in the future. But then there's another overall picture of all the facts that I take in consideration. I take in consideration all humans, how they affect me. You understand? But the Chacham can only see. In other words, there's a different level in how selfish I am. In other words, I'm either so selfish that I can only look at the particular, or no, I can look at other people too and take them in consideration and see how they affect me. So I'm able. Does my selfishness blind me to people, or not? That's the difference between the Chacham and the Tzaddik. By the Chacham, it blinds him to people, to the facts. He can only see the particular act and the consequence. But the Tzaddik could see the overall picture. Okay, so the thing is that Ben wants to say that a distinction between the fool and the Rasha. The fool is a person that is only attached to the particulars but can't see an overall picture. While the wicked, the Rasha, since he has a philosophy of evil, he does a certain amount of evaluation. And since he does the evaluation, so he can see the future, but he only goes in so far as will help him benefit his evil, so therefore he is lacking knowledge about the self and the benefit of justice in general, but he has the knowledge of of seeing the future, but he only uses it for evil. Okay, we're coming back to verse 32. And the problem that we ended with was, the question is, so the question is, why does he talk about a tzaddik and a rasha? Why didn't he talk about a chacham and a fool? You understand? So now we have the answer, because we see that just like the tzaddik sees the overall view of people, when he sees people, he accepts all people. He has the big picture of all people are equal, and therefore he looks at the overall picture, therefore he could act correctly. So he has the overall picture of the physical world and events in the physical world. He accepts as a reality. This is the facts of life. So he still accepts reality, even in adversity, because he's trained, the tzaddik is trained to accept all information in the physical world and not to go according to his emotions. So he accepts the reality in the physical world, while the chacham does not see that overall picture. So he would not trust God in adversity. When there comes adversity in his life, he would not trust God, and neither would the fool or the Rasha. The reason why it mentions Rasha is because Rasha is the opposite of tzaddik. The essence of the verse is saying that the tzaddik, who sees the overall picture, can accept all of the facts of reality and therefore accept reality for what it is, even in adversity. When there's adversity, he accepts the facts and makes correct decisions in that situation. So that explains Pasuk 32.